The best insight, instant feedback, accountability. The all-new Talk Radio Freedom 106.5.
If you want to know who is the true Batman and Robin of society, that's the fire officers. Big them up whole day. And there's a reason why I say that all the time. What you guys do is beyond just extinguishing blazes, because you can't tell a fire officer, come on, out the fire. They'll put you in your place. Am I correct?
Yes.
Put in my clothes, huh? You know?
Hi, good evening. Yes, you are.
Good afternoon. Right. Yeah, don't ever tell a fire officer you're going out the fire. They always extinguish blazes.
Extinguish the fire.
Yeah, extinguish the fire. Yeah, extinguish the blaze. All right? So, I mean, they are the Batman and Robins of society. They are the ones that are there to do rescuing. They will dive into the river swamp. If you cry out in an accident, my baby. And it's a true story. It actually happened right in the Carony, heading to south. An accident took place. And the woman was a bit deranged. And she came out and she was screaming for her baby. And they looked on it. There was a car seat in the back. But guess what? She had dropped the baby off at the babysitter. And for 45 minutes, she had fire officers and other personnel wading through that murky water that is dangerous, alligator infested. And they were looking for this child because she was screaming profusely on the highway. My baby, my baby. And the discovery of the car seat and the back seat gave the officers even more, gave her screams more credit,
yeah,
that a child was in this vehicle. But what saved the day and got the officers out was a phone call. Somebody saw it and they called to see if she was okay. And she was screaming about the baby, and they said, well, you know, they're looking for the baby. How old is the child? And they say, the child is almost a year, but the child is here at the daycare. She dropped the child off. And they make some calls where the child was dropped off at the daycare. But in her mind, my baby, my baby, my baby. I ain't see a police officer dog inside there. I ain't saying police don't go and help you too, eh? I'm not saying that, but it's the fire officers, boy.
They were there for the rescue.
Always. So, for this, I don't have to call you a Batwoman, but you know, fire officer, our heroes. Good afternoon to you and welcome to Freedom 106.5 FM. Happy IWD to you as well.
Thank you very much. Happy IWD to your listeners.
And oh, I thought you were going to wish me that. I'm not going to say, look, again, up and go outside, yes?
Handsome, manly man like yourself.
Hey.
Oh, no.
Diamond, you ringtone, no, Jojo. Diamond ringtone, I record it. So, let's get into our conversation.
Yes, and we are here with female fire officer Lana Maria Belgrove, and she's going to walk us through, for any of you young women who may have an interest in becoming firefighters, she's going to walk us through her journey and leave us with some tips and pointers. And of course, we want to know what it's like for a female fire officer. So, Lana, of course, happy International Women's Day to you, and welcome again.
Thank you very much, and same to you and your listeners.
So tell us a little bit about your journey and what got you here. What got Lana deciding that she wants to be a fire officer?
So I wish I could give you the perfect story about it was a lifelong dream as a child. It wasn't. I'm going to be very honest with you. I started my family young and I wanted security. And somebody said to me, you know, fire service taken in. Because I've been in the service almost 20 years. So take yourself back to 20 years. We're not talking about now, you know. We're talking about 20 years ago. And I want to say to you, it was the best decision I made.
Fantastic.
I love what I do, and I'm doing what I love. We are unsung heroes, capeless heroes. When everybody is running out, we are running in. We are helping people. And I want to say that it's both arms of the service. We have the operational arm, which are the officers that are on the trucks that you see every day, the ones that are diving into the swamp and the rivers, as he would have spoken about. And then there are those who do the back end of the work. So I am from a section called the fire prevention section, where we do career days, we do lectures, we do this kind of thing, interviews, community awareness. When persons have unfortunate situations at their homes, we do investigations afterwards. They come in to us, we provide supporting documents to take to other stakeholders. So the fire service is, it's a combination. It is a wonderful place to be. As with every job, every profession, you know you're going to have your challenges. But the job itself, it's about helping people. And that's what we get to do. It's unfortunate, you know, the limited resources a lot of the time, because we have to be real that there are the challenges.
Yes.
But the fire service, I wouldn't have it any other way.
One of the things I know about the fire service is, if I can chime in here briefly, Jojo, is that they would be looking for 160 persons at any given time, 120, whatever figure they're looking for. And they would have 500 people applying. Now, you've been there over 2 decades. What is happening in is that by the time you go through the 3 stages of interviews and training,
it whittles down.
You're going to boil down to the because people fizzle out.
Yes.
When I look at the rigorous training that you all have to go through, tell me what it was like for you as a female going through those challenges. I mean, in a male, what is perceived to be a male dominated industry or career path? You know, what was that training like? I talk about Randy off here and you was like lost, but Randy's the dominant 200 something pounds that is playing a basket, and I mean,
and you have to be able to lift them.
Mm-hmm.
So the training was rigorous. So the training is a part of it, but I'll give you a little rundown how it starts. So usually the fire service will put out advertisements either on social media or in the newspapers where they're going to say that they are recruiting firefighters. You're going to come in with all of your certificates. You must have 3 O-levels. That's the minimum. We ask for 3 O-levels minimum, yes, but we encourage you persons, even if you have more than 3 O-levels, you know, sometimes people feel they may be overqualified. You're coming in because, as you said, it is really survival of the fittest, not only physically, but academically as well. You know, so we want the best of the lot. So you're coming in. You're going to do a screening. You're going to meet once you meet things like the height requirements, no physical abnormalities, because we have to be mindful that due to the rigors of the job, you need to be able to perform.
Of course.
And so we do the screening. We call that the initial screening. That's where you're going to see the ad, as I said, and then you have thousands of people showing up at the stadiums. And then from there, we're going to do a service commission is going to send out the letters letting you know you were selected based on this initial screening. You're going to do an English paper, a maths paper. And as I said, 20 years ago, we did, I think it was like a spelling and dictation, but now they're doing current affairs. So that's another element of screening.
Hear me good, boy. I know we're talking women, but I would have to re-invite you to come on my program next Monday with Officer Jude Rogers, because you now mentioned something to me there that I baffled. You know, what maths and dictation have to do with me coming out there with my ability to fight fires, as you put it?
Okay, so the intention is that you are going to be able to write reports. This is a writing job. When I say it's a writing job, you go out on a fire call, you go out on an RTA, which is a road traffic accident. Mm-hmm. Every step of the way, you need to be able to write.
Is that every officer has to write a report on returning to the station? Because a truck might have about seven persons.
The truck has the officer, the driver, and the 3 additional persons. So you find that the officer is the person who is responsible for writing the report.
All right, so the officer will handle that.
If I have a challenge, if I have a concern, a query, I have to actually write. Okay. I have to apply on what we call a standard report form. So actually, English language is compulsory in to enter the Trinidad and Tobago Fire Service.
Huh? Agreed.
You must have English language.
I would
imagine.
So
it's what we call a writing job. So every step of the way you're writing.
Any three subjects can work?
English and any 2 others.
Any 2 others.
Yes.
Okay. Let's talk a little bit about your journey in the fire services in terms of you handling your position is very nice and polished right now. But when you got in there, had you ever had a chance to be on the scene going in, as you say, when people running out?
Yeah, we are running in. Yeah, and as I said, that's the operational alarm. That's where all the action is. When the bell drops, you still feel excitement. So you train for 6 months. Uh-huh. My batch change, we call us the batch. So you batch train for like about 7 months.
So
and
which
it's
watch
just
are
rigorous
on?
Training.
The blue watch?
No, but I am working 8 to 4 at the fire prevention
you
section.
You will get through, boy. But when you started?
When I started, I was assigned to Red Watch.
All right.
So I will always tell them in headquarters, so Red Watch was the best watch at the point in time. That's where I started.
Mm-hmm.
Right? And it's rigorous training. 6 months of rigorous training. Now, it's not only physical training. We have book work. Plus, we have actual physical activity on a morning. We do PT and what we call physical training on a morning. You go running. You have drills. You have exercises. You have actual written exams, the academic element of it as well. So it's a combination.
All right.
It is a really dynamic profession because you also need to be, as I said, able to write your reports, as well as you need to be physical. You need to be able to run and roll hoses and climb ladders. So all of these are things that I would have excelled at 20 years ago.
You did. So what do you mean would have? You're still looking like you can handle that.
Yeah, she's fit still.
Yeah, like you can pick up the jaws of life. And
yes,
I mean, I had the opportunity to hold the jaws of life.
That's what you need to do.
I had the opportunity to hold the jaws of life. And I will tell you something, Joe.
It almost held you.
Listen, man, I was filming a show called Jobs back in 2011, Just Occupations Beyond Scope for CNC3. And while I was doing it, the show entailed me going into the being in the life of whatever career path I choose to film, right? And we were doing fire services out there in Chaguanas, and I remember they giving us a little snippet, boy, with this jaws of life, and I thinking, you know, I could pick up the thing. I was lifting this apparatus and it wasn't connected to the air hoses yet, and I wanted to put it down because connected to that power hose, and then the fact that they have to send it through metal to prize open and pull, I say, and then the coat.
Yes, your turnout suit, we call that.
Yeah, what? Your turnout suit?
Your turnout suit. Right. That's what you do your actual firefighting in.
That because it has some weight.
Because it helps protect you from the heat, but yeah. It also keeps you very, very, very warm. So it is a lot. It's survival of the fittest, and I'm saying that the race isn't for the swiftest all the time. It's for endurance.
Right. Mm-hmm.
One of the things about the training is the training builds endurance. And so I'm saying to you, when you come into training, they're going to work you. You're going to work you. And as I always tell them, I said, I wasn't the fastest, I wasn't the fittest, but you had to have the endurance to finish.
Stamina, as we say in local parlance.
Stamina in order to be.
And I think that's a good nugget to leave our female listeners with today, that, you know, sometimes it's really endurance that you have to work on. Can you stay the course? And I like that. So on that note, the training, is it alongside your fellow
male counterparts?
Yeah. You train as a batch. There's no male and female separation.
Yeah.
Just like when you come out onto the lines and you come out to work, there is no male and female separation outside.
You are a firefighter.
You are a firefighter.
And you had to be able to handle your scene because people's lives depend on it.
Yes.
Even that of your colleagues as well, I would imagine.
So what was that like? Was it camaraderie? Was it competitive? What was that like?
That's a good question.
It was good when I'm going back to when I passed out 18 years ago next month.
Congratulations.
Thank you very much. I came out and as I said on Red Watch, and I remember one of my friends today, and I'm saying my friend today because the relationship, we forged a friendship from working together.
Mm-hmm.
And he said, well, I take you under my wings, you know. It wasn't a competition. It wasn't a let's show you up. Now, I want to be honest, you're going to meet persons like that who want to show up that as a female, you're not as strong or you're not as fast or you're not as. But there was a camaraderie. The watch worked together. When we go out and the bell drops and we jump onto the appliance and you're pulling up your pants and putting on your jacket on the appliance, heading to the next call, not knowing what you're going to meet. We are a team. We are a unit. We don't have any men and women at this point in time. So it's camaraderie. Teamwork. Well, there is no I in team. There was no gender bias. Nobody's saying, hey, we're not sending out the females. I didn't experience that when I came out.
It would be remiss of me if I don't ask this question. On the lady days, as it were, when you're experiencing that discomfort, how were you as a woman able to deal with those things and still respond? Because you're on the watch. And from what I'm getting, you have it pretty now with your little 8 to 4. But you was on the clock where you had a midnight, you're working. Come hell high or low waters, you gotta be out there because I know all you can't just stay home just like that and call in.
No.
Yeah. No. That problems.
You don't just stay home.
Listen, I wanted to, that was one job, Jojo, was on my bucket list growing up. I wanted to be a fire officer in my early as a youth. I wanted to do that. And it's the one job I never got an opportunity to do. But I had a little stint when I went to the fire services department filming the show and see what it is. And I don't regret not coming in. So on those days, how do women come together? Yeah, emotions all over the place, you know.
Women's emotions will be all over the place all the time.
Well said,
you know that.
Well said.
You know that.
Don't say things like that today.
But as with any profession you're working in, you're going to have your up days, you're going to have your down days.
Mm-hmm.
The relationship that you forge with your officer in charge is important.
Yeah.
Because you're going to be able to say to your officer, you know, I ain't really feeling so good today. This is what I'm dealing with, or that is what I'm dealing with. And they may make the necessary exceptions. But remember, it's not you alone on the team or on the watch.
Mm-hmm.
So if you're not well on a particular day and you tell your officer, well, I ain't feeling so good today, somebody else would replace you. And, you know, you may probably be put, if they leave you in the station to work in the control room, or you're just not placed on an appliance the evening. So the relationship, communication is important.
Of course.
It's important. It's important for you to, you know, be as honest and as upfront as possible. Tell them, I really can't make it, because we have to be mindful. We're putting people's lives at risk. If we are not well and we want to come out there, there is no way I can save your life if I am not well.
Save yours first.
So the relationship is important. Having good relationships with your officers, having good relationships with your peers, even if you're not feeling well and you say, hey, Jojo, I ain't feeling so good today. No? So she'll hold a little strain for you.
Mm.
Yeah.
You know, there are some jobs, Joe, I just wonder about, you know, boy.
No, I mean, if I was a young woman,
I'm feeling emasculated right now because I can't make that grade.
I'm thinking this is an exciting career for a lot of young women, and yeah. I feel like there may be so many misconceptions. What misconception do you think exists out
Good
there
question.
About women in firefighting?
One, and what should young women put in their minds at the moment if they're thinking about it? What sort of preparation you would advise be done before at least attempting to become a fire officer? Those two questions.
So let's start with the misconceptions. So I want to say that it is not an easy job. It is not easy to come out and risk your life mentally, first of all, talking yeah. about it. You are going in, as I said, when everyone is coming out. The other thing is be like, yeah, the women don't do anything in there. That's not true. We have some top-notch female firefighters, fire officers, right. and we have fire officers at all ranks, not just at entry-level firefighters. We have FSOs, ADFOs, FSSOs. So it's up the ranks. So
right.
you could see that the women are performing at every level.
And they're able to progress.
Yes. And I want to say that promotion doesn't just come because you're a female or because you're familiar with someone or someone knows you. You have to work, you have to pass the exams, you have to go through service commission just like the men. So there's no because it's a woman.
Great.
There is no
it's a level it's a playing
it's
field.
A level playing field out there. So to encourage you women, the young women. So right now, I want to give you a little idea of the figures, right? We have approximately 2,200 active professional firefighters in Trinidad and Tobago. And of that 2,200, we have about 370 female.
What?
Yes. And I sat in the car coming up the road and I'm thinking about it. And I want to be honest with you, I smiled with pride. I felt my cheeks glowing to know that I am one of the 379 females in the entire country of firefighters.
No, that's a fantastic achievement on your end. But from another perspective, don't you think that the fire service could make room for more women?
We can make room for more women, but it's not as simple as just saying, okay, we want to train and we're going to take in some women. So I want to say that in 1992, when we started taking in women, they only took in 30 women in that batch.
Wow.
So we went from 30 to 379, and that is a great accomplishment.
Yes.
I want to say that it's, you know, the red tape. Ministries, governments, you know, training requires preparation.
Of course.
So the batches don't train as often as I guess a lot of people would like, because I meet people all the time and they meet me, when fire taken in, I'm like, I'm not sure when fire is taken in, but keep your ears and your eyes open, the ads are going to be placed.
Yeah.
But yeah, there is room, and I know that our administration is listening and they are aware that we have young women who want to be capeless unsung superheroes.
Of course.
It is a powerful, empowering profession, and I encourage young women, eat well,
mm-hmm.
rest well.
Yes.
You know, we all young and want to climb and we want to, you know, now things are very different. They experiment with a lot of things. I encourage young women to keep themselves safe, keep themselves healthy, make sure they eat well, stay out of trouble, yeah. your company, because one of the requirements for getting into the service is a certificate of good character.
Mm.
So we want no run-ins with the law.
Right.
You know, so we encourage young women to stay out of trouble, get your education. You know, my mother used to say as a child, books before boys, even in the dictionary. You know,
yes.
so put the books out there, study your work and work hard. Anything you put your mind to, even if it's not firefighting, because as I said, it is not an easy profession, but it is an enjoyable, rewarding, fulfilling profession.
I could see that on your face from your smile.
I won't change it for anything.
That's great. That's a very privileged place to be. So how then do you manage all of the other things in your life, being a partner, being a mom? How do you manage all of those things with a job that you says it requires a lot of you? And if I am hearing in the background, you have to have a strong mindset.
Yes. You have to have a strong mindset because, so when you come out on an accident scene, you take these memories back with you, you know.
Yeah.
All of the graphic images that people could only glimpse through social media. As a fire officer, when an operational officer responds, he is responding to the actual incident. He is hearing the screams. He's hearing the cries.
Yeah.
So mentally, it takes a lot out of you. You need to be strong. And so it requires you to have balance. For me, I will say my faith my faith in my God, mm-hmm. in finding balance. Mm-hmm. I would have had experiences when I was on the operational arm going out and seeing mothers, and I'm saying mothers because you're as a woman, you're thinking this is a woman. I'm on the highway every day.
Yeah.
You know, so it is important to have faith. It is important to find balance. It's important if you have a good support system. Because if you have family and friends that understand what you're dealing with, you may come to work a day and you respond to a fire and persons may have perished in the fire. You're going home. There's a smell that you don't forget.
Wow, I never thought of that.
Yeah, there are things you see when we go on an investigation and persons perished in the fire before the DMO and before the police arrive. And you're there and you have to actually be doing investigations and you're there unearthing stuff and looking around and there are there's a skull because this is a human life.
Yes.
So mentally it requires a lot of strength.
Does the service provide any sort of counseling outlets or services for its officers?
So I won't quote any providers, but at a point in time I'm aware that we would have someone that you could have gone to. You're right, you indicate that you'd like to speak to someone or you're having a challenge, and so we would have been using a particular provider at a point in time.
That's fantastic.
You go through the channels. I want to say I'm not sure if it is in place right now still, but it was at a point in time. So there are options if you're having challenges, if you're not, but it's a wonderful job.
Well, I see on your face that you are greatly rewarded by your job on so many levels. And that's nice. That's nice to know. I think it's a blessing when a woman is able to be in a career that she loves and makes her happy. And as I said it before, it's a paid forward kind of career. You are looking after your community, your fellow men. It may be even your family members at one point in time.
I have people call me. My phone will ring and my cousin called me last week. She said, Lance, they have a bushfire across the road by me. I was like, okay, call 990. That's the number for the fire service. You know, and so I keep telling them, I said, put it on your fridge. You know, I went today to a karate, some toddlers in a private school, and the excitement on their face when they see you. We didn't even go with a truck because it's International Women's Day, so they asked for professionals. And my co-worker and I went, and the children were excited. People are genuinely happy when they see we reach.
Yes,
they don't play that for you, and we are aware of that. They don't play that on the media. They play where the person quarreling because the house burned. But when the family comes in and they're saying thanks afterwards and they're glad that you were able to save, you know, and I think that honestly, we need to see a little bit more of that because it does exist. As with all professions, you know, we only highlight certain elements, but a lot of homes are saved every year from fires. A lot of persons are rescued when people go missing, hiking, accidents, when people, the ambulance service responds because, as I said, we do a little bit of everything. I tell them, cats in trees and all, I think if you call, they're going to come. If you you lock your child in the car, they're going to come. Your house is on fire, they're going to come. Somebody pass out at home, the ambulance service from the fire service is going to come. So there isn't anything that we don't respond to. I read a report the other day, because the reports come over to my section, and we responded to a snake in somebody's ceiling.
Right.
You know, so we are in the service of the people.
I now realize why I couldn't be a fire officer.
Yeah, not a snake in the ceiling.
You ain't calling me on no snake run.
It is a selfless profession.
I will help you kill a lion. But if somebody says a snake in here,
I'm gone. We don't get to run away. We don't get to run away.
As a female, I don't know if this question was asked as I was outside a few moments ago, but does it affect you all in any way? I mean, that you know, mentally, that is.
Yeah, we were talking about the mental aspect of it. And I want to say it's not only to the females, you know, it's to every fire officer that is out there.
Mm-hmm.
You go on a scene, what we see as the snippets on social media, fire officers are dealing with everything. They're dealing with it. We're not even talking about the smoke inhalation, you know, the physical element of it. So it's a combination of things.
You know,
it's
I often feel very, very sad when I think about, you know, you all are the, as you say, the unsung heroes, the capeless crusaders, and you all are limited in terms of the resources available. You have BAs that are failing, that you all are, that's a basic essential for your job. And yet the government, you know, I'm not on that today, now boy, I will get vexed. I will get vexed.
Yes, the resources are limited.
It's.
But we continue. And I think I want to say that that's one of the challenges, because you work so well within it, sometimes it's a bit of a challenge. But how do we say we can't come to your home when you call and you say your house is on fire?
Yeah, that's not an option for you.
You know, as we mentioned that, we want to, could you share a little bit, as you're doing, you know, you're on the 8-4 now, you're on the nice part of the job these days. In terms of somebody pranking the officers, I saw last year in my community, fire officers responded to an emergency call, I would imagine. And when they arrived, well, for me, in that same area, a couple months ago, there was a fire. Right. So I had the opportunity to see the officers arrive, and I was seeing the smoke bellowing, and I know, okay, there's an emergency. But then the fire officers are getting close to my home. They're about two streets away, but I'm not seeing any smoke. And then it dawned on me, maybe somebody did. You know what happened? Some clung about two or three streets away from where I live have no water in the tank and called the fire services on an emergency.
Oh no.
To come and fill the tank. Well, the officers went to the police station, of course, because, I mean, they could have, they almost got in an accident coming down the highway, getting to this emergency, this distress call. They had ambulances in trail.
You're wasting resources that could have been utilized on someone with a genuine emergency. Now, I empathize with the areas that don't have water. I want to say that. Eh? I do empathize with the areas. But as an emergency vehicle, and mind you, yes, providing water is one of the things that the fire service
does. There's a reason I mentioned it. Yeah. I was waiting for her to say that.
It's one of the things that the fire service does. Yeah, yeah. But when we look at providing water versus responding to a road traffic accident, responding to a fire where someone is trapped in a building, you must have a priority list.
Yes.
So I understand the fact that, yes, they have no water, but it's a waste of their resource to call on that. They could actually call and maybe request and see if at any point in time it can be facilitated.
Okay, so here's a no-brainer question from a texter here. Outside of responding to saving lives on a RTA, well, road traffic accident, why do we have to have water appliances on the road responding as well? Now, that's a no-brainer question. Eh? That's an easy question. I can answer that, but I'll allow you to.
Yeah, go ahead.
Because if the car have oil leaking and debris, the water wash it down.
Broken glass.
Don't wash it down. You can't sweep it.
And additionally, yes, you have to wash down the road afterwards. Clean to up. Ensure that other vehicles don't skid and we have any additional incidents.
Yep.
And then you never know if the vehicle is going to burst into flames.
So you have
and
that.
If the vehicle does burst into flames and they have to wash down the road, you know, it's a combination of things. It is a combination of things. You never know what is going to happen. It is a very unpredictable situation. Sometimes you go on a bushfire. Mm-hmm. You leave the station because you get the bell drops, bushfire. By the time you get to the bushfire, you now have either a motor vehicle fire because somebody's vehicle was parked close by, or you have a structural fire because somebody's home is now
ablaze.
Yes. So on that note, though, I just want to sidetrack and I want to recommend to persons, since we are in the bushfire season, of course, they are aware that we're not supposed to be lighting fires within the bushfire season.
Yes.
So no fire permits will be granted.
You have to apply for your permit. When you apply for your permit, you're going to come in and the fire guardians are going to come and do an assessment of the area, make sure that you have adequate water supply in the event. But it's a process. So we're not supposed to be doing it. But for the areas where persons have overgrown lots, for the areas where people have vacant lots next to their home, we recommend that you cut a trail about 3 or 4 feet away from your fencing. The intention is that even if a bushfire starts next door, it's not going to reach to your home because it does get the opportunity to get to your fence and then spread to your home. You know, so that's just a tip on the bushfire side because we are within the bushfire season.
So 4 to 5 feet is good.
About four feet,
it's a good distance away.
Yeah.
To prevent. Okay, interesting.
Right, so it's you just cut out like a trace or a track, you know, like an area, walk area.
Yeah.
So the intention is that it doesn't spread to your fencing because once it reaches your fencing and it spreads, your home is now at risk.
Mm.
And we are aware that sometimes we have vacant lots in areas. Sometimes people have overgrown lots. The person is out of the country or they don't even know whose own it is. And nobody is really willing to say they're going to cut the entire lot.
Yeah.
So just to prevent your home from bushfires, we recommend that you...
I know we just be real lackadaisical. You could imagine living with a fire officer. Your mom is a fire officer.
Gosh.
How strict are you in the home?
Oh my gosh. When my children were younger, we used to do evacuation drills.
I know that.
They were frustrated with me. They're still frustrated with me. You know, anywhere I go, I'm walking and I'm checking extinguishers.
I know that.
I was now about to ask you that you would come to my home and
tell you, you know, that you should. So since we're talking about that, if I may, I would like to suggest, you know, to the public, of course, the importance of fire extinguishers and smoke detectors in your home. It's like a marriage, and I'm saying a marriage because we want to have both smoke detectors so we could detect smoke at the early stages and the fire extinguisher, of course, with some training so that you're going to be able to use it. Because if you have a smoke detector, by the time you detect the smoke, you have no extinguisher, what are you going to do? The place is still at risk of burning. If you have an extinguisher but you have no detector, by the time you smell smoke, the place is going to be burning. So we encourage smoke detectors in each of your bedrooms and in your corridors, fire extinguishers in your home. Just in the event of an emergency.
Joe, I will tell you, because of my show that I do, well, now that I have you here with me, there's a show we do called Safety Mondays, and Joe Rogers is my co-host every Monday between 4:30 and 5:30, and I can't go into any building anymore and go anywhere. I've vexed myself because I can't enjoy myself, because if I walk, I'm looking for exits.
Yeah.
I'm looking to see the height of the fire extinguishers on the wall, and I'm looking for, you know, to make sure that they have followed certain fire guidelines and codes, and to make sure that I'm safe. So I can't go now and just rock back and cool it. I'm looking to see if there's a riot or if there's an emergency. Where are the exits?
So when
I keep looking at those things.
So when I enter a venue, if I go to a party, it's the same thing.
Same thing.
I look for the emergency exits in the event of an emergency.
Where are going first?
If I go into a building, I'm looking for exits, watching to make sure you extinguish. And I'm telling you, if your extinguishers need to be serviced, I am telling you, I go to my friend's house and I say, but you don't have any extinguishers.
I'd be like, woman, I'm invited to eat some pork and some barbecue chicken.
Wait, I was guilty of having an extinguisher that had not been serviced. Yes.
Okay, so I recommend you take it back to your provider.
And I'm glad that you mentioned that. So you check on that. Let me just raise your attention to that little red thing up there.
Yes.
It doesn't make a sound, but if you're ever in studio, you keep ever so often looking at it. If it starts flashing, you get out.
Yes.
Please take the stairs, don't take the elevator in the event of an emergency.
And that's for real. I sat here at time when everybody left. And I said, I'm talking. But I seen this thing blinking. I like, because I waited for a sound, not recognizing. Yeah. And as I started the program, I realized that light flashing indicates to me there is an emergency. Yes. We need to move. So you grab whatever.
Briskly, but not too quickly.
Yeah, because you don't want to stumble nobody. But you move.
Well, that's fantastic. And I think... in closing, I want to leave the listeners with some information, and especially because we're commemorating International Women's Day, just with some little bits of information about girls who may want to enter the fire service. Can you just reiterate some of the things that they, you know, let's say I'm in fourth form, I'm in fifth form, some of the things, or even advanced level, some of the things that, or even if you have a degree.
Yes.
Some of the things that I should have in place if I want to consider a career in firefighting.
Okay, so for all of the young ladies, and by extension the young men, it is very important. The guidelines, well, you have to be 18. Minimum 18, maximum 35, of course, because you need to be legal. A minimum of 3 O-levels, English language is compulsory. As we said, it's only the minimum. So we encourage you to further your education while you're waiting on the calls. I'm aware that a lot of people don't want to do degrees. Do some short courses, do some vocational courses. The reason I'm saying that, there are so many elements of the fire service. We have the IT department if you're into computers. Mm-hmm. We have the ambulance section if you're into that kind of medic training. We have the engineering department if you are into mechanics and fixing vehicles. So people think, oh, I must have a degree. You don't have to have a degree. But there are other avenues you could go into. There's the administration department, because these are all parts of the fire service that causes the wheels to turn and for us to run as we do. So 18 to 35, as I said before, certificate of good character, because we want to ensure that you are hanging around the right people, you're not getting into any kind of trouble. Focus on your education, eat well, rest well. Exercise is important, because the training part, you must pass the training element of it. As I said again, diet, vitamins, because you need to be healthy. You need to do a medical as well. There's a medical in as part of the assessment.
Wow.
So it's a lifestyle. It is a lifestyle. Work hard, train, eat well, focus on your education, stay out of trouble.
Oh, you have to do. You have to have your COC.
Yes, must have your certificate of character to ensure that you're taking in persons who are going to not bring the service into any kind of disrepute with their behavior or the things that they may be involved in.
Fantastic. And you mentioned that earlier today you were at some sort of, well, you said it was younger ones. So we all do have some career. So when do those events take place, or can schools contact you all for that type of information?
All through the year we do career days.
Mm-hmm.
We do first vacation time, summer camps. People call in and ask us. Easter time is coming. The scouts are going to be calling us to supervise their campfires when they have their campfires. Yes. But we do career days, we do lectures, we do all sorts of fire safety training. So persons can feel free to reach out to their fire stations closest to them, inquire about it. The fire prevention section is who usually would address those sorts of things. So feel free to reach out to your station. Information can be provided by the staff there as well.
Thank you so much. And we greatly appreciate you passing through on International Women's Day and chatting with myself and Jojo.
Thank you.
And listen, don't be a stranger. I will reach out to Jude to get in touch with you.
Of course.
So that we can continue.
My pleasure. Definitely.
So, Joe, your closing remarks?
My closing remarks is that it was wonderful to be here on International Women's Day. I'm happy to be part of the Freedom 106.5 team today. I think we did a wonderful job really spanning and touching all of the roles that women play, as I say, in the different roles and their capacities. And I feel that we left a wealth of information. And feel free to follow us on all of our social media platforms. We will have additional information and resources on those platforms. And yeah, happy International Women's Day.
The best insight, instant feedback, accountability. The all-new Talk Radio Freedom 106.5.